is all right. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. He was the second shortest person in the Bible. Nehemiah. The only other one, there's a fella that was a shoe height, and he was the only one smaller, all right? Don't pay much, don't get much, all right? Nehemiah chapter 6, we're going to read two verses together. Let's read them in unison, verses 15 and verse 16. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and verse 16. Everybody's turning. Nehemiah chapter 6. And brother Juan, I have a Bible for you, but it's packed somewhere. I'm sorry, buddy. I haven't forgotten it, but only Jesus knows which box it in or where it is right now. Be patient with me. I'm a tired old man. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Nehemiah chapter 6. Let's read verses 15 and 16 together in unison. Ready? So the wall was finished in the 12th and 5th day of the month, Elul, in the 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. And let's pray. Father, I need you today. Holy Spirit, help us. Lord, we're doing something that the world would think would be foolish. We're doing something that the unsaved world already thought was foolish. Lord, we're doing something that even some in the quote-unquote religious world thinks is foolish, but we have trusted you by faith this far. We're going to keep on going. I pray that you just bless us, bless our church. Help us as I preach today. Help us to listen with your power, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah has been commissioned by God to rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Now, why? Most of the Old Testament centers around a 70-year period. Now, if you'll listen to me, for 490 years, the Jews had not kept the Sabbath. They had not kept the Sabbath year and all the years of Jubilee, etc., etc., etc. They were in disobedience to God. And for 490 years, they had not kept the Sabbath. Now, you say, why was it 490? That's why in the Bible it says, how often should you forgive someone? Seven times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. God had forgiven the nation of Israel 490 times before he judged them. And you know the story, how that Babylon came in and destroyed the nation of Israel, leveled the city of Jerusalem, and took captive the young people and the skilled people and the upper class, the well-educated, brought them to Babylon to lead the rest of the Jews in slavery in Babylon. Now you have prophets that what they are called pre-exilic prophets. Those are the ones warning during that time, either change, repent, or God is going to destroy you. Then you had those that preached during the captivity. That was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and others. Then you had those that preached afterwards. They would call post-exilic prophets. Now, the exile was under Babylon, Media Persia, etc., etc. There were several different people that overtook the Jews during that 70 years. Now, listen to this very carefully. When the Babylonians came in, they literally leveled the city of Jerusalem. They tore the wall down. They tore every house down, every building, every structure. The Bible says that there was not one stone left upon another. Then it had laid there for 70 years untouched. That would be like going into Hiroshima and waiting 70 years before we rebuilt it since World War II. We're at 74 years past the end of that. there has been almost as much time since the end of World War II, actually since the beginning of the Korean War, until now, of this destruction. That tells you something. It's been laying. Any building left undone for 70 years is not going to be in good shape. Doesn't matter what it's made out of. But after having been destroyed and lying there for 70 years, imagine how much ruin there is with it. God commissions Nehemiah to go and take a bunch of people and rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Not only did they do it, but they did it in 52 days. Now, this was a daunting task. Add to this, most everybody in the region hated the Jews. Nothing much has changed. The Jews had God's blessing on them because they are His chosen people. Now listen to this very carefully. The God-haters of the world also hate the Jews to this day. I'm going to make a statement here. Israel is a small but wealthy, valuable, and powerful nation, and America needs to be the best friend of Israel. Thank God for a president that's got enough backbone to stand up and do something about it, not just flap his gums. I believe God has spared our world from the rapture a little while because of President Trump. You can say what you want. I don't know if the man is saved or not. I kind of tend to believe he may be. There was some indication of that, and I have some friends in higher up places that know far better than I that say that he is, and I believe that possibly to be true. I didn't say he was a Baptist preacher. Nobody's doubting that the man has had sin in his life, but who here has had no sin? Too many times we Christians want to point fingers. You're not choosing a pastor of a church. You're choosing a president of the United States. Amen. And it sure was better than the alternate. Yes. On his worst day, it was better than her best day. Now, Nehemiah has had to bring tired, depressed slaves to an area that is hated by everybody in the world, to rebuild an area that has not been touched in 70 years. Many of these people had never seen what it looked like because they were born in captivity. The only people that knew what it looked like were the old people. Think about that. Only the older crowd knew what it used to be like. They have little to no money. Now, Nehemiah had been given a grant by the government to help pay for it. And yet this massive job lies ahead, and they have people trying not only to destroy the work, but to destroy them while they're doing the work. God used Nehemiah to do the impossible in 52 days. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 15, I love the first five or six words. So the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. Grace Baptist Church, our project started over 2.5 years ago. But the wall is finished. I hold in my coat pocket the key to the building. I have it. The wall is finished. We have gone from nothing, meeting in a hotel room, meeting in another hotel room, in a different hotel, to sometimes Sunday morning in one hotel and Sunday night another, to renting extra hotel rooms to put Sunday school classes in, not knowing which room the nursery was going to be in, to renting a building for 3 years that was $9,000 a month, And there was no way we could continue on financially and be able to maintain that. So we went from a 60,000 square foot building that we rented about 4,000 or 5,000 square foot of to this ugly old building in Aiken Center. But may I tell you something? So the wall is finished. I promised you when we started that we were going to stay after building God's people and we'd pay somebody else to do the work. We bought property. We kept seeing people saved. Kept seeing visitors come. We hired engineers, and the preacher almost lost his salvation. No, just my eternal security. oh, my soul. And then architects, and more engineers, and builders. And then get things going, and then find out that the engineering company was going out of business, and partially because they screwed up our property, and we had to wait another 4 months and re-engineer it and spend another $17,000, $18,000 re-engineering it because they messed it up. Then to closing the loan on the building, and then to find out weeks later that the county added $95,000 extra dollars in more stormwater management to the job and had to re-go through all the loan process and all over again, get reapproved, go through all the signing, all the closing again, et cetera, et cetera. All on a handful of people. I wanted our church to prove God to us. I wanted our church to prove to our community. I wanted our church to prove to this country that doing it by that book still works.
Amen.
I'm not much. I'm not the most educated person. I'm not the most intelligent person in the room. I'm sure. No comments. But I promise you this. I got enough faith to believe God than doing it the way he says. And I just believe there ought to be a church somewhere that does it God's way and not man's way.
Amen.
By the way, our country and our area is starved for a real work of God. I mean that. And one of our people this week was telling me that somebody was criticizing them because they have their children in an old-fashioned traditional church and said, what you need to do, you're gonna ruin them. You need to put them in a church that has rock and roll and everything else. And I said, you tell that person they're stupid. And that's what has made America what it is today. I don't blame the White House. I blame the church house.
Amen. Yep.
I blame preachers who don't have but a wet spaghetti noodle for a spine, or afraid to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, change your ways. We're not supposed to change God to man. We're supposed to change man to God.
Amen.
We are not to conform God to be like us. We're to conform to be more like God.
That's right. Amen.
There needs to be a church somewhere where it's old-fashioned, believing the Bible, preaching it as it is, watching people get saved, watching lives get changed.
Amen.
Waiting for a Larry and Sherry Cole to walk into an old warehouse building. Put my hand in his hand and say, I'm glad you're here. We're not very fancy. Watch them both get saved that day. Get baptized the next week. It needs to be a day where Don can be having troubles, not knowing where to turn, and God brought him by. Come to church on a Sunday night and get saved.
Amen.
Come back on Wednesday night. Come back on Thursday and help Marcia move. I go Saturday and knock on his door, and his wife's there and he's not, and one hurt of Christ. They both come Sunday morning, and they both walk the aisle and profess faith in Christ and get baptized that Sunday night.
Praise God.
And I didn't know this, but they were separated. God put them back together.
Amen.
And in a couple weeks, we're going to do their wedding renewal at church in the new building. I had to hold them off a little bit. You better be taking her on a second honeymoon. No. no more kids, though. All right. TMI. All right. Can I tell you something? Been a long, hard journey. And a stinky old, scrunched in, feel like a sardine can church building. But look at the miracles God has done. I could go person after person after person after person after situation in this room. I look back and see Fred. God brought Wally and Fred to us, and Fred was lost as a goose in a snowstorm. Wouldn't get saved. Almost died three times on us. But he met a Baptist preacher that loved him, and he couldn't put it off. Met somebody with a harder head than him. I could go down the line. We have seen, as it says in the book of Nehemiah, the good hand of our God upon us. He's blessed us beyond what mortal tongue can say. May I say this? I don't want him to take it off. So the wall, the church, is finished. But Grace Baptist Church, what does that mean for us? What does it mean? So the wall was finished. Let's take the word of God and I'll show you. Number one, the work is not done because the walls are complete. The work had just begun. When Nehemiah had completed the wall in 50 and 2 days, been 50 and 2 months for us, almost exactly. When the wall was finished, guess what? Then they could start working on the city. They just put the protection up, but the real work was getting ready to get started. It wasn't over just because the wall is up. May I say this? Just because the building's built doesn't mean the job's done. Our work's just beginning. We're the ones who need to set the example. We're the ones that need to get the work done. We're the ones that need to train more workers. And we're the ones that got to go get more workers. I'm going to need you to sing a little louder in the new building. It's bigger-er. It's lots bigger-er. It does have a nicer piano. Brother Randy was in there yesterday. I said, go ahead, Brother Randy. Go start playing. Really? I said, yeah. Couldn't see his ears because his mouth was wider than that, just grinning. And he looked at my wife. He says, well, you ready to practice, Mrs. Bush? She said, well, I do have my music in the car. So she went and got it. And she was singing and he was playing. And woo, buddy, it's something. And Marcia was trying to get him to play Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy back there. And he wouldn't do it, thank God, not on that piano. She can play it at home, but not there. But we're going to have... Yeah, it's called the Holy Spirit. All right. Your turn. Volley for serve. Can I tell you something? You're going to have to sing louder as we bring people. They don't know the songs like you do, and we're going to have to fill up that room. You're going to have to be even more friendly. All right? Just be normal. Well, be yourselves. I would say be normal, but none of you are. Folks, we're going to have to be extra friendly. We don't have to work hard at that. I don't have to belabor that point at all. I get that. But we're going to have lots of guests visiting our church. Be kind. They don't know you're on medication or not. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? Some of you might have to, instead of trying to get there first and get the closest spot to the building, how about you let everybody off and park a little farther away so others can? And please don't think this is staged, but in here, you can't hardly move at an invitation. But at the end of a sermon, there's something called an altar call. We don't have an altar, we have a walkway. But in the new building, at every service, there's going to be a place for everybody to come forward and pray that needs to, instead of just raising your hand or kneeling in a chair, need to get up off your blessed assurance and go do something about it. I'm not mad at you, but there's more than one reason. Can I tell you something? I really believe that because the Lord touched your heart, you get up and you move, there is somebody that's lost that's going to be willing to walk an aisle and trust Christ because somebody else is willing to walk that aisle. Amen. If they think they're the only one, they're not going to walk it.
That's right.
And you need to be walking forward, not out of the service, and walk forward.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen, preacher.
All right. That means you ought to be moving when it's time to move as far as for the invitation. I heard a preacher say it this way. You ought to move to the altar when God speaks to your heart, and you ought to move to the altar if God didn't speak to your heart.
Amen.
I think we ought to be faithful to attend every service so that we can be there and help. I realize some of you folks work sometimes in some of the other services, and I get that. But every chance you can be here, you ought to be here. Please don't take this the wrong way. You expect me to be there. I'm no different than you. Well, it's your job. It's more than a job. We need to be able to, and everybody, listen to me, I love you, but when we see visitors at the invitation, you need to be able to be willing, like what happened to Larry and Sherry, sent somebody by them and said, "Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die?" At the invitation, Larry said, "Nope." And man said, "Follow me." Sherry had already responded. She was already down the aisle. Larry was standing there, white-knuckled. I said, "Go back and talk to him." You need to look around, find visitors, and if you see or hear that they raised their hand during the invitation, that they're lost, or if they didn't raise their hand, it doesn't hurt to say, "Are you sure you're going to heaven?" And if not, say, "I'll walk with you. We'll show you how." So, well, I don't know how to lead them. That's okay. You can lead them down to the front. I'll get somebody to take a Bible and show them. Don't worry about it. And then I'll teach you how to do it so you don't have to ask somebody. Everybody doing all right? We've got to be the ones doing all the work right now. That's the nursery. That's the Sunday school. That's the soul winning. That's all of it. It's our job parking the cars. It's our job cleaning the buildings. As of this, as of after they're done cleaning at one time, the keys are in our hand. We got to keep it clean. So the work is not done because the wall was complete. The work had just really begun. Number two, and I love this, it was completed so that it could serve the purpose for which it was built. It was completed so that it could serve the purpose for which it was built. It was built to protect the nation of Israel in the city of Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? The walls are being built for a particular purpose. The church building was built not so that we can have a building and say, "Look at us." That's called a country club. It's not a status symbol. Say, well, what's our purpose? Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." That is the purpose of the church, just so you know. It's our job to get the gospel out.
Amen.
Did you know it's not just the preacher's job to preach the gospel? It is up to every individual responsible Christian to get the gospel out.
Yes, sir.
That means soul winning. Say, "Preacher, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. We hear it every sermon." Good, until you're doing it, you're going to keep hearing it more. And even if you are doing it, you're going to hear it more because we got more people coming.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? That means keep inviting people. Did you know God put the responsibility of getting the gospel out on Christians? God doesn't stand at heaven saying, "This is God. Listen to what I say." He's not the one that needed salvation. We are. And since we violated his law, he put the responsibility on our shoulders to tell the whole world. Everybody doing okay? May I say this? Church is not for worship.
That's right.
Oh, church is a place of worship. No, it's not. You won't find one public worship service anywhere in the confines of that book. Let me explain it this way. Worship is loving on God.
Amen.
It's telling God how wonderful He is, how magnificent He is. Let's put it down into terms to where we live, and I'll be as appropriate as I obviously need to be. But I love my wife, but I don't tell her in public everything I tell her in private, nor do I do everything in public that I would do in private. You say, why? Because it's not appropriate. Now, I'm not afraid to hold her hand in public. I'm not afraid to kiss her in public. I'm not afraid to put my arm around her in public and do it a lot. But it's not going a whole lot farther than that. Now, do I love her when I'm in public? Yes, but we're going to worship at home. Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly what the word worship means, just so you know. It means to be intimate with God. You don't do that in public. She's blushing. I'm not. Can I tell you something? Worship is to be in private, not in public. You won't notice on our sign, public worship or Sunday morning worship. No, it's Sunday morning church. You worship it with God by yourself. We're to be the hospital to help people and fix them up so that we can reach some more. Our job is to help patch people up. I look around this room and find people who were broken spiritually when you came here. And now look what God's doing. Found people who were hurting, maybe even some bitter. We let God work through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and the fellowship of His saints. And wow, look what God's doing.
Amen.
We found lost people who need to get saved, and they got saved. Look what God's doing. We need to learn to help the brokenhearted. We need to learn to be a hospital. Guess what? Well, people don't come to the hospital. Sick people do. Some smart aleck, Mrs. Lopez, was saying, I didn't see your signature on the wall yet in the bathroom. Well, we hadn't had our first service yet. She will see it. Now, wait a minute. It'll be there. Can I tell you something? We're to live the truth so that we can free people from the bondage of sin. Now, everybody listen to this. Say, well, sugar draws flies, so does manure. I don't care how many flies you gather, is it according to the truth? We have quote-unquote church buildings full of people today, but they're having a rock concert. They're having praise and worship and feeling good, but they're not getting anything spiritual. We're not going to have a praise team. We're not going to have drums and a praise band.
Praise God.
We're not going to have follow the bouncing ball on the screens. You're going to put up with an old-fashioned leather-long Baptist preacher, old-fashioned song leading. We'll hire somebody that can do it better than I. And we're going to get through this thing God's way, not man's way.
Amen.
Well, this is the 21st century preacher. Good, come back tonight. We'll find out if you know what month it is. I can read the calendar, but my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are not to change what He said do. We're going to preach the same old-fashioned King James Bible. The only Bible. The only one for English-speaking people. The only preserved, inspired, that's still inspired, not just in the originals.
Amen.
You look on our church covenant and bylaws and our doctrinal statement, it doesn't say that it's the best translation. It says it's the only Word of God that is inspired and preserved. Not just in the originals. Did you know that in John, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, or Matthew, I'm sorry, he said, it is written, and it had been longer from the time that it had been written from then to Jesus than from Jesus to now. He didn't have the originals. Just so you know. We're going to have the right kind of music. Old-fashioned, revival kind of music. We're going to have camp meeting music. We're going to have songs that move people because they're A, doctrinally right, B, they're musically right. We're not going to get into all this syncopation and all this bebop, hip-hop junk. Not going to get into this contemporary style. I won't, Brother Randy will tell you this, I won't do a song if it's less than 20 years old. Unless I personally know the writer of it, and even then, I'm hesitant. Say why? It's got to be proven first. That's why we have song books. Everybody doing okay? This area is ready for a true old-fashioned church where the power of God can transform lives. Period. I'm convinced the more and more people I talk to, the more doors I knock on, the more conversations I have with people, they're getting tired of modern religion.
Yes, sir.
Thank God there's going to be a place they can run to.
That's right.
Number three, I got to hurry. We will defeat the enemy by making God's work successful. Look at verse number, look at verse number 16. And it came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof. What did they hear? That the wall was finished. Look at later in the verse. They were much cast down in their own eyes. And they perceived that this work was wrought of our God.
That's good.
Now, listen to me very closely. None of you are able to whip the devil or evil on your own.
That's right.
Neither am I. I preached a whole sermon a couple years ago on how not to fight the devil. We ought not be battling the devil. We ought to be obeying God. In our obedience to God, it'll kick the snot out of the devil and other things. Most of us can't even conquer our own sin. How do you think you're going to conquer the devil? Everybody doing all right? The only hope we have of defeating evil and defeating wrong is by obeying God. In other words, we have to keep after bringing visitors to our church.
Amen.
We have to do more soul winning. It ought to be more people out, not fewer people out. Just because the walls are built doesn't mean you sit back on your blessed assurance doing nothing. It's time to get up and fill it up. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're going to need more Sunday school help. We're going to need more nursery workers. We're going to need more helpers in many different areas. And by the way, don't get mad at me, but if we're going to do God's work, I'm going to ask you to step up and dress the way God wants you to dress. You would do it if you went to work somewhere else. You're invited to come to this church no matter what. But if you're going to step into positions, I need you to step up. That's just the right thing to do. I'm not mad. I'm not critical. But it's just the way it's got to be. It's not our work. It's God's. We need more workers to help clean the buildings. That's a lot of building to clean. Debbie Tharp vacuumed the auditorium yesterday, about two-thirds of the auditorium and two offices, and she'll tell you, she vacuumed for over an hour. There's a lot of vacuum in there. We're going to have to get the building kind of straightened up between Sunday morning church and Sunday evening church, and songbooks put back, and chairs straightened out, and trash taken out, and all that kind of stuff. There's going to be neat cleaning done in the bathrooms between services so that when you walk in on Sunday night, it doesn't look like 400 bus kids threw up all over the place. You see, there's going to be more people, which means more mess. And it also means more people who need help. Everybody doing okay? They're going to need lifted up, not kicked down. They're not going to know how to behave in church like you do, Miss Pharisee or Mr. Pharisee. Why don't you back off and give them a chance? They don't need kicked when they're down. They need lifted up, according to Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Lift up the fallen. The Bible says in Galatians, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. We're going to have folks that are backslidden come. Praise God. We're going to have sinners sing in our church. Did you know that? Did you know there's going to be hypocrites singing in our church? Yeah, every one of us. Some smart aleck one day said, "Preacher, do you live everything you preached?" I said, "Nobody can live everything I preach. I don't preach it because I live it. I preach it because it's the whole counsel of God. I have no nail prints. I'm not perfect." I said, and what right do you have to judge me on what I preach? I said, I'm supposed to preach the Word of God, plain and simple. I put them right back in their place. Doesn't give me an excuse to do wrong. Can I tell you something? Thank God, Grace Baptist Church, I love this statement, is a place where the ground's level.
Amen.
Now listen to this very carefully. I worked real hard on these four statements. There's no power tower here. There's not a hierarchy here. There's not an importance empire here. In fish terms, there's no pecking order, or chicken terms. No position makes you more important than anybody else in this church. Let me say that again. No position makes anybody more important in this church.
Amen.
The person who cleans the toilets is as important as the person teaching the Sunday school lesson or preaching the sermon.
Yes, sir.
The lady changing the nasty diapers in the nursery is just as important as the board member. Everybody doing okay? The bigger the position, the more you're supposed to be a servant, not a big shot. Jesus said the greatest will be the servant. That means the more you go up in position, the more you should serve, not be served. You won't get closer to me because of more things that you do. You're not going to get closer to my wife because you do certain things. The ground's level here, folks.
Yes, sir.
My daddy taught me a long time ago, son, don't look up at anybody and don't look down on anybody. Amen. Every man puts his pants on the same way, one leg at a time.
Right.
Never forget that. He said, don't you dare look down at anybody, but you be careful how far up you look because they're just as human as you are. By the way, he's right. Number four, and I'm done. I hate to tell you this, but the attacks from the enemy won't stop. They're going to increase.
You're right.
The attacks are not over. I wish I could tell you that critics won't be there, but they will. I wished I could tell you that people aren't going to hate what we stand for. They hated it before we did it. Don't get caught off guard that not everybody is as excited about it as you are. Some of you have quote-unquote religious or Christian friends, and some of them are going to grumble and complain and get bitter and get nasty about it. Just smile and wave with all your fingers and keep going. The devil's not going to be happy with us. Can I tell you something? The devil's not going to be happy. Can I tell you something? Bitter Christians aren't going to be happy. Oh, I've already heard some people. Why did they put a church on that piece of property? Sweetie, because you weren't there. You didn't have anything in it. Quit complaining to me about it. Can I tell you something? This is my favorite part. Don't stop God's work to defend God's work. You will not, listen to this statement. You become a critic if you criticize the critic. You become evil if you try to destroy the evildoer. Too many of us want to stop doing what God's work is to defend God's work. God's work doesn't need defended, it needs done. Do you all get that? We're going to have people come. We'll have people go. We've had people come. We've had people go. Can I tell you something? Everyone that's gone, I've tried to replace with two. Been my goal. Say why? That takes care of the next one that leaves. Gets me one ahead. I've been at this 30 years. Trust me, I know. You know, don't criticize the critic or you're just as guilty as the critic was of you. You know, the Bible says you overcome evil with good. It doesn't say you have to do good to the person who did evil. You just overcome it by doing good. You don't have to do good to the person that did you evil. Just go out and do good. In the process, God blesses that. And as our church succeeds, it smashes down the enemy. But once their head's bruised, they're going to come back and they're going to hit a little harder. It's okay. Don't waste time defending. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, I love this, Brother Bob. Bible says that the enemy was attacking them while they were building. They had a trowel in one hand and had a sword in the other. They're troweling concrete and whacking heads off, and troweling concrete and sticking gizzards. They're troweling concrete and fighting on hanging on the edge of the wall. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've had a Bible in one hand and a sword in the other. Amen. Guess what? It's not going to change. Just because we have a building and just because we'll see more people come doesn't mean the battle's going to stop. It's going to happen, and we may increase the battle, not decrease it. More people means more problems. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Say, how do we do it? Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you something? Gates are defensive. Gates don't move. We are to be attacking hell, not having hell attack us. We are to be the aggressors, not let evil be the aggressor. Everybody that says something mean about you, just go knock on somebody else's door, get them saved, and bring them to church. Shut their mouth by doing what God wants you to do. Not saying, well, you shouldn't talk like that, and get on your Facebook account and spread it all over the world how nasty somebody else is. You've just become evil to the evildoer. Some of you need to put your face in the book rather than being on Facebook.
Amen.
We are the ones to be the attacking. How do we attack? With the gospel, with the word of God. Telling each and every person about Jesus Christ, giving them the clear, plain truth. I'm done. So the wall was finished. Grace Baptist Church, the walls are finished. That means that the building of the city, home by home, needs done. That means the reaching of Berkeley and Jefferson counties, house by house, door by door, family by family, person by person is our responsibility. The walls are up, but the work's just started. May we rise up and build the city for God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I needed today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Just about every hand. You may put them down. Who'd say, preacher, I am 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there one that would say, and you may put them down, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to. Would you raise your hand? All right. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you need to use an old-fashioned altar, you come as far as you can or kneel there at your chair. But the wall is finished, but the work has just begun. What are you going to do with it?